I see the world being slowly transformed into a wilderness. I hear the approaching thunder that one day will destroy us too. I feel the suffering of millions. And yet when I look up at the sky, I somehow feel that everything will change for the better, that this cruelty too shall end, and that peace and tranquility will return once more. Anne Frank, who as a teenager in occupied Europe, wrote in her diary, and her diary was published posthumously, and this stood out to me this week, capturing the portrait of what it means to be alive. There is a dynamic tension in all of life, two realities that are held together simultaneously, yet equally true, that in one hand, in one regard, there is great reason for concern. There is violence and difficulty in our world. As a nation, this week we remembered some of the difficulty of what it means to be alive and what it means to be a country, to be a people. And yet also, as we look up, we see the world, we see the beauty, we see the art, we taste incredible food. There is so much joy and beauty and fun in life. At the same time, these realities are true, for this is what it's like to be a human. The book of Proverbs is one of our best collections of what it means to be human. For complete concern and fear to live side by side with absolute bliss from friendship or family or faithfulness in God. These things live together in the human experience. And at the center of this collection that we call Proverbs, at the heart of this message and this teaching is wisdom. Wisdom is at the center. Wisdom is a vignette. Wisdom is a mosaic of what it means not just to be alive, but to live well. How do we live with great fear facing us and great beauty facing us? How do we do this well? The answer is wisdom. In Proverbs 1:20, as we read this morning, wisdom cries out in the middle of the city at the busiest intersection. She cries out, "Who is she?" And Proverbs 8 says nearly the same thing, that at the city gates and at the center of the market, wisdom cries out. She raises her voice. Who is she? Wisdom, my friends. Wisdom is what it means to live well in a wonderful and a wild world. She raises her voice, and she is a woman. Wisdom is a woman, and she is always right. She is always right. She is always right. Now, that statement is not kosher in our home, okay? And the reason why it's not is because one time Allison was wrong. I'm kidding. That would never happen. She is always right. That statement doesn't work in our home because a healthy relationship, an emotionally healthy relationship, cannot exist when one person is always right. That's not a healthy relationship. Now, if you're sitting next to your spouse or your special someone and you can't amen that, I'll say it for us. I am beyond reach at the moment. A healthy relationship can't exist if it's dependent upon one person being right. If you get to the fork in the road, take it. Baseball may be boring, but Yogi Berra isn't. If you get to the fork in the road, take it. These words from Yogi Berra have been special to me for a long time. If a healthy relationship can't be dependent upon one person being right all the time, a healthy life cannot exist if there's only one path forward. If there's only one path forward, you can't live a healthy life. If you get to the fork in the road, take it. And I believe that wisdom wants to go with you. I believe that wisdom knows a way to go because she is always right. Who should I marry? What school should I go to? Should we have kids or not? What career path should I follow? What should I study in school? How do I end this relationship? How do I get my kids to believe in God again? These are all questions that I have entertained in my own personal spiritual life. And these are questions that I've spent innumerable hours in pastoral counseling considering with people of the church. And if you're dealing with these very important questions about your path, your life, I'd be honored to buy you a cup of coffee and listen. But I want you to know that I think the answer to these eternally important questions, the answer is more akin to a Yogi Berra statement than a how-to manual. Who should you marry? Wisdom. What should you study at school? Wisdom. What career path should you follow? Wisdom. Should we have kids or not? Wisdom. How do I get my kids to believe in God again? Wisdom. Where should I go to school? Oh, very good. You're paying attention. Hello. Wisdom. Now, you may do well to say that's a very pastoral answer. And some of you may say that's a non-answer. Okay, I've had people say, where should I go to school? And I say, where do you want to go to school? That's not an answer. That's not helpful. Okay, silly pastor tricks are for kids. Let me try it again with a little bit more theological punch. The future is open. If you get to a fork in the road, take it, because the possibilities in front of you are endless. It does, amen. It doesn't matter who you marry as much as it matters how you live with your spouse. It doesn't matter where you go to school. It matters, will you walk with wisdom while you're there? It doesn't matter what career path you follow. Do it with the wisdom of God going with you. There is not one path in front of you. That is why it's so important that we live with wisdom. For she is always right. Wisdom is a collection, a mosaic, a vignette. This morning, I'd just like to consider two aspects of wisdom, one from Proverbs and one from Mark. Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom is crying out. She's calling out to us in the center of the city, in the busiest of the corners. Wisdom asks for us to listen. Just listen. She's calling out. Her voice is very sweet. She knows your name. She knows what you're good at. She knows what you're not good at. She's calling to you. And for most of my life, I've been too busy and too loud to hear her. And most of the people that I've worked with in and outside of the church are too busy and too loud. You're sending emails while driving 82 miles an hour. Our lives and calendars are out of control. We must become disciplined to create margin and space and skill. She's calling out. she's always right. In 1994, can I get an amen? The 90s were awesome, right? In 1994, in Irwin High School in North Carolina, Jason Summey was a student and noticed a problem that his school was seeing more than normal in his area, seeing kids drop out of school for various reasons. And so he created a student-led, peer-led program known as the dropout control, okay? And the dropout control would support students in order to help them graduate. At the end of 6 months, one of the things they would do at the end of 6 week grading periods, for those who stayed in school, the dropout patrol would throw a party and just celebrate the fact that we're all there. And the year before he started this program, 13 students had dropped out. And the year that he started the program, only one student dropped out. And this took off and had wonderful impact on many lives. Peer-led program, by the way, it's incredible. Gained national notoriety helped students all across the country, and some celebrities and hip-hop artists got a hold of this and created some wonderful slogans and wonderful materials, and you may know it by the name of Be Cool, Stay in School. In Mark 8, Jesus is describing the difficulty, the persecution, and the sacrifice that it takes to follow Christ. The classroom of our faith, the place in which we learn and we grow the most, is at the foot of the cross. A place that is difficult, a place that is bloody, a place that is heavy. And Christ invites his followers to lay their egos down, to carry the cross, and to stay in school. The space in which we humans learn and grow the most is often the seasons that are the most difficult. The seasons of loss, the seasons of struggle, the seasons of darkness, of sacrifice, persecution. Christ received all of this. And maybe you're stronger than me, which is likely, but I tend to avoid the pain. I'm rather keen at finding the path of least resistance. Christ is inviting us to receive the cross as he did. Christ received the cross and 3 days later burst forth to new life and invites us to stay in school, to stay in the space that might be difficult, that might be calling for you to sacrifice. In 2004, Deborah Searle, an Englishwoman, and her husband trained and attempted in a two-person boat to row from Africa to Barbados. They had gained some notoriety as they were the only male-female team to try this attempt. And they had trained in London on the river. And so after they started their race, after a few days of rowing, when they became out of sight of land, Deborah's husband dealt with severe anxiety and panic attacks. He was unable to eat. He was unable to sleep. It was a very dangerous situation for him. And so they had to call in a rescue boat. And a rescue boat came and got her husband and took him back to England. And she had a choice then what to do. And she stayed in the boat and for 111 days rowed, like this kind of road, not like this kind of road, rowed to Barbados. The time restrictions on the race had long been passed by the time that she made it, although one headline said, "Woman who comes in last wins the race." Not long after she completed this feat, her and her husband got a divorce. Her husband left her. She recounted saying that the loss of her marriage was far more difficult than rowing across the ocean alone. And I'm wondering if you, like me, can relate. Not to rowing across the ocean, that's ludicrous. Maybe you can relate to the weight of when a relationship doesn't work out. Maybe you can relate to that business, that career that you've been investing in. Blood, sweat, tears, equity, weekends. When that fails, the weight of that. What about those of you who could relate to the weight of when it's finally time to retire? It's finally time to major in grandparenting, and then a diagnosis changes everything. You see, it's in these seasons that we can learn and grow the most. It's through the cross that we get to resurrection. And I would like to remind us that what Jesus is reminding us really of is not to hop off the boat. And Deborah had a choice. There was a moment there where she could have been rescued as well, but she chose to stay and to row. Will you stay? Will you remain? Will you abide? Will you hang on to dear life, even if all you have left is your fingernails? I believe that God will be with you. I believe that you, though in maybe the darkest and most difficult season of your life, or maybe this is a neighbor you're thinking of, a friend or a coworker, though in the darkest season of your life, I think you're headed towards something bigger, something better, resurrection, a new life. In the book of John, opens with what could be some of the best literature ever written, much less some of the most important words of our faith. The book begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all that is was made through the Word. And that nothing has ever come into being without coming through the Word. And that the Word was life, and the Word was light to all. And that the light will never be overtaken by the darkness." You won't be overtaken by the darkness. This is a beautiful introduction to this book, and it connects the Logos, which is a Greek concept for wisdom, also portrayed as a woman in Greek philosophy. It connects the Christ, who took on the form of a man in Jesus, as the eternal Logos, the wisdom, the woman. You see, she's always right. No matter what path is set out in front of you, no matter what fork in the road you may take, I believe that in Christ there is the possibility of healthy relationship. I believe that in Christ there is the possibility for you to hang on and hold on. I believe that in Christ there is the wisdom of God. And she's a woman. And she's always right. Let's pray together. Lord, we are in need of your wisdom. Some of us have tried our own wisdom, and it's worked, kinda. It's worked sometimes. But your wisdom is eternal. Your wisdom is true and good. And we place our hope not in our own wisdom, but in yours. Lord, we see the need around us, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our co-workers, our teammates, in need of your wisdom. We pray that you would be generous, that you would bless them. That those of us who may be in a positive season, in a supportive time of life, that we could be of support to those who are facing the darkness, that we could help them in their path to carry the cross and to follow you. We thank you that you received the cross, O Christ, and that you burst forth from the struggle to offer new life. We pray in the name of your wisdom, in her beauty and her grace. Amen.